the Earl Ingram Show, as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, my next guest, none other than the Secretary of the House of Corrections, Mr. Kevin Carr. How are you doing, sir?
All right. Good morning, Earl. It's been a long time, and good morning to you and your listeners out there. And I am the Secretary of the Department of Corrections.
That's why it's been so long. The Secretary of the Department of Corrections. Thanks for correcting me. You know, it has been a long time, and you know, you have done some great things. You've had some great jobs, but let's talk a little bit about the job you are dealing with now. How long have you been the Secretary of the Department of the House of Department of Corrections? The Department of Corrections.
Okay, well, you know, I'll tell a very short story, Earl. Prior to becoming the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, I was the U.S. Marshal for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, and I had been appointed to that position by President Obama in 2010. And because of the presidential appointment, when Donald Trump was elected president in 2016, I was waiting to be replaced. My intention was to retire at that point from government service.
Yeah, you spent much time as a sheriff.
Yeah, I had spent previous to that, I was 30 years at the Milwaukee Sheriff's Office. But then in December of 2018, Governor Evers gave me the chance of a lifetime to help people change their lives. And instead of retiring, I said yes to the governor's offer to help him change the culture at the Department of Correction and help people change their lives. And I believe that that's what the good Lord wanted me to do with my life at that time. So I said yes. And then after the governor was reelected on November 8th, I said yes again. So I'm going to continue to serve as long as the good Lord gives me the strength and health to do so.
So let's talk about just what that means, Department of Corrections, because what most people think is we've got all these bad people locked up, and they need to be locked up, and they need to stay locked up. If they've committed a crime, they should pay that price, and that they should suffer and for the rest of their lives. But you, and the name of it, as you stated, the Department of Corrections. Let's delve into what is meant by corrections.
Okay, well, you know, there's always the traditional definition of corrections, which seems to have a very punitive and punishment-oriented connotation. You know, so that's what people normally think of. But, you know, our mission is much more than that. You know, the governor and I believe that from the moment that people step through the doors of our prisons, we should engage them in the treatment and programming and job training necessary to help people change their lives. And so to the best of the ability within the resources that we currently have available, and to that point, we never have enough resources to do the job that we really want to do, but we do the best we can with the resources that we have. We do provide people with those opportunities to change their lives so that they can go back to their communities and support their families and contribute to society in a meaningful way.
You know, you've been in law enforcement, so to speak, for almost your entire adult life, and what is it that's happening now that's different than say, you know, 40 years ago or 30 years ago? We look and see now that there's over 24,000 inmates in the Department of Corrections at the state level in Wisconsin, and, you know, those numbers are pretty astounding considering not so long ago 1983, it was, nowhere near that. We've certainly increased 46% since 1983. What is happening? Is it that people are committing more crimes, or just that they're getting caught more? Which is it?
Well, I don't know if it's either of those things, Earl. But let me answer your question this way. In the early 2000s, there was this war on drugs, and in the late 90s and early 2000s, the war on drugs, and there was a prevailing sentiment throughout the nation that they needed to build more prisons. And so more prisons were built because they felt that they were needed. Our population here in the state of Wisconsin, when our administration took over in 2019, we had approximately 23,500 folks in custody. Today we have about 20,300. So that's about 3,200 less folks in custody now than when we started. And some of that is due to the impact of the pandemic starting in 2000. But remarkably, now that the pandemic has started to wane a bit, our numbers are remaining fairly stable. Now, some of that's due to the fact that a lot of the courts are backlogged and they're not sentencing folks to prison as quickly as they had been, but we have created a number of programs here at the state level, well, especially our earned release program, which we have expanded to try to give people who are convicted of nonviolent crimes an opportunity to get the drug treatment or substance use disorder treatment that they need in order for them to return to their communities and shorten their sentences in custody.
So because unless we are engaged or involved, either through a loved one or through working in the system, then we don't know and we don't understand, and then we get information piecemeal. It's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on. So you mentioned that there's some programs that are developed to have non-violent people released into, it's not like they're released to just walk the streets. You've got 37 facilities, 131 prison facilities, 24,000, this is a little bit older information, 131 divisions of community corrections offices. And so these people who are getting out freedoms to maybe go to work and do some other things because they have not committed violent crimes, there are quite a few people who fall under that category. Am I correct?
That's correct. We release in our earned release program, I believe our latest numbers are up year to date that we've got about I think close to 1,600 folks that we've released so far this year. And I think by the end of this year, we're going to approach probably close to 1,800, 1,900 folks that we that are released through the earned release program. Now, but that program is just one program that we believe is effective in maintaining community safety and giving people the opportunity to return to their communities after getting the treatment that they need while they're in custody. But I want to remind you and your listeners that Governor Evers has, pushed for criminal justice reform, or what we call comprehensive criminal justice reform measures, during the last 4 years that he's been the governor, and I know that he will continue to do so in the future, because criminal justice reform that has occurred all around this country, and even in some of the most conservative states in the country, like Texas and Oklahoma and Louisiana, those states have engaged in comprehensive criminal justice reform that has accomplished maintaining public safety, reducing prison populations that resulted in closure of some prisons. Five prisons in Texas were closed during the past decade or so under criminal justice reform, and saving the taxpayers' money. Currently in the state of Wisconsin, it costs about $44,000 a year to house someone in one of our prisons on average.
You know, you talked about many people being locked up for drug offenses. You know, if you didn't know that, if you hadn't mentioned that, then, you know, people would think that the majority of the people who are locked up because they've committed these violent crimes. And certainly nobody's justifying, you know, people breaking the law with selling drugs, but people are going to return to their communities and their neighborhoods for the most part. The majority of the people who are presently locked up are going to be going home because they've served their time. And people have to understand that something happens in between Secretary Carr, them committing their crime, serving their time, and being released. And it's to the benefit of all of us that whatever it is that's happening to them in the facilities are going to correct behavior that put them there. Am I right?
Earl, you are so right. In fact, before we go to break, it sounds like that's where we're headed. I just want to emphasize or amplify something that you said. 95% of the people that are in custody are going to return to our communities. So it only benefits us as a state, as a community, to provide those folks with the proper support, programming, and training that they need in order for them to find self-sustaining family wage jobs, stay out of trouble, and address the issues that sent them to prison in the first place.
All right, we got to go to break. Hang on. We'll be right back. That's Secretary Kevin Carr. He's with the Department of Corrections. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Kevin Carr. He's the Secretary, Wisconsin Department of Corrections. You know, Director Carr, it gets frustrating when you hear people say, lock them up, lock them up. And, you know, certainly you've got young people now stealing cars, and nobody's justifying any of those things. But the answer can't always be lock people up, lock people up, lock people up. We will never be able to, through locking people up who are dealing with difficult socioeconomic issues, lock people up enough for us to feel safe. I mean, is it reasonable to believe that the crimes that are being committed, and none of us want to see the crimes that are happening in our community, in our society, but for heaven's sakes, if you lock somebody up who's 20 years old and we don't do the things necessary to prevent those young people from being locked up, it's an endless cycle that we'll never be able to afford. What is the budget of the Department of Corrections on a yearly basis?
Well, Earl, there's two or three things that I want to say in response to your last comment, if that's okay.
Yes, sir.
First of all, to answer your question about our budget, I'm going to answer it this way. The Department of Corrections is the state's largest agency. We currently have between 9,000 and 10,000 employees.
Wow.
We have 37 facilities around the state where we care for persons in our custody. And we call folks, we don't call them inmates, we don't call them offenders, we don't call them convicts, we call them persons in our care, okay? Because they are persons. They are people, okay? And we're trying to change that culture. Secondly, we also have, as you mentioned, 131 different community corrections offices around the state where we supervise 66,000 folks on community supervision.
All over the state.
All over the state. Now, as it relates to the issue that you mentioned about young people committing crime, I think, you know, your listeners would be interested to hear a little bit about the new Type 1 juvenile justice facility that we are attempting to build on the northwest side of Milwaukee. And, you know, one of the reasons that we want to relocate our youth from northern Wisconsin, about 3.5-4 hours away up near Merrill, Wisconsin, is because of a concept called closer to home. And closer to home means that the science and best practices used all around the country and other places indicate that when you can have your youth who are in custody located closer to the community where they came from, where they have family support, community support, more relevant programming that they can identify with and have a workforce that they work with that they can identify with because they look like them, they have better results and they return to our communities in much better shape, and so that they can not reoffend and end up in the adult system, where, you know, like I said, it costs $44,000 a year to take care of somebody in the adult system. So we want to move those kids closer to home where they can have more contact with the community and their families, and that support is vital to their success.
You know, Secretary,
that increases public safety in the long run, because even if you can change the lives of half of those youth that you come in contact with, that's 50% of those kids that are not going to end up in the adult system, because lots of people make mistakes. A lot of kids make mistakes when they're young and impulsive and do things that they shouldn't do. Our responsibility is to provide them with the treatment, programming, and training to help them think differently and change your life.
You know, Secretary Carr, you said something that really resonated with me. The Department of Corrections is the largest system in the state. I mean, that is amazing to me. With 22,000 people that you're dealing with who are incarcerated, and yet the majority of the tax dollars are going to that system. Wouldn't people want to see that system cut back as much as possible? I mean, couldn't the resources be used somewhere else?
Yeah, but you know, Earl, I would argue this, okay?
No, and let me clarify, and I don't mean it from a negative standpoint. I mean, when you talk about trying to correct this at a young age.
Sure, but that's part of the whole goal of comprehensive criminal justice reform, is to use our tax money in a very efficient way, in the best way possible. And doing that means, in my opinion, and I believe the governor agrees with me, in a balanced approach. Okay? A balanced approach means that you provide people with everything that we talked about earlier, the programming, the treatment, the job training, and other support that they need, including housing and other things, to help them get on their feet so that they don't reoffend and they stay out of prison. That's on one side. But on the other side, there will always be a need to separate violent people who make it dangerous for you and me and our relatives and our friends to walk around safely. There's always going to be a need to separate some folks from society, yeah, because of their propensity to violence. I mean, so you have to have both. You can't just do one at the exclusion of the other, that won't work.
Secretary,
you have to have a balance.
We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Kevin Carr. You know, Secretary Carr, before we, I want to add this before we go into what we talked about a minute earlier. What is it about the fact that the fastest growing segment of the prisons across this nation are women? What is going on that women are being incarcerated at these really large numbers, which we didn't see before? What's bringing that about?
Well, you know, Earl, I really don't have a concrete answer to that question, but I can speculate that, you know, women are part of our society, and they're becoming, involved in activities that previously men primarily were engaged in, and perhaps that accounts for why you might be seeing an uptick in. You know, the number of arrests of women. But as far as the Department of Corrections is concerned, we operate a number of women's facilities, both maximum and minimum security facilities for women, primarily in the southeastern part of the state of Wisconsin. And we have not had a real definite increase in our female population since I've been the secretary. So we're not really seeing that same thing. Now, that doesn't mean that
nationally they're seeing that increase. So
I really can't speak to that.
So let's talk about listen, I am an admirer of Governor Evers and all the work that he's done around this state and continues to do, and so that even includes corrections. Let's talk a little bit about some of the things, innovative things that have happened under Governor Evers.
Sure. Well, you know, our governor believes, like I do, that the best antidote to crime is a family supporting wage job. And you know, because we feel so strongly about that, during the Evers administration, we've increased the number of vocational technical training programs that we have and partnerships with local technical colleges around the state. When I started in 2019, I attended a graduation of a young man at Racine Correctional who was the first person to receive an associate degree from MATC using online courses. Now, that was in 2019. Since 2019, we've expanded that partnership with MATC to 10 other campuses or 10 other facilities around the state. We also have a four-year bachelor's degree program with Trinity International that we run out of Waupun Correctional, and we have other partnerships with UW-Madison, where we have the Odyssey program out at Oak Hill, and we're developing a program with UW where we're going to expand, high school education opportunities to five more prisons located around the state. The science has shown, and a lot of the things that we do here at the Department of Corrections is based on evidence-based practices and science. Okay, we don't, you know, rarely do we invent the wheel here. We look at other programs that have been successful elsewhere, and we try to duplicate that. But the science shows that the higher educational level attained by persons in custody, the safer those facilities are not only for the persons that reside there, but the staff that work there as well. And it's the right thing to do.
You know, Secretary Carr, recidivism. You often hear people saying people are being released and repeat offenders. That's why we've got to do everything within our power to keep them locked up. So when we hear people talk about repeat offenders, is it kind of safe to say that the people who are being locked up now, many of them are a lot younger than what, you know, we've kind of seen in the past, and so these young people have a chance to really correct their behavior. And with the programs you're talking about, a lot of them have not done well in school, it's safe to say, and did not know the value of that. So education is the one thing that can change their lives. We know that.
Well, absolutely, and that's why, you know, when I talked about a balanced approach, you know, I mean, not only do you need to have programs and support for folks who are just as involved and been in the system or are coming out of prison, but you also need to have programs and support for folks to try to prevent them from getting involved in the system in the first place. And, of course, you know, when you talk about programs and support for folks, like you said, that, you know, maybe need educational support or other types of programming that would change that dynamic, you know, you're talking about resources, and there's just not enough resources allocated to prevention that that I think that should be. And I don't think that there's anybody on our administration that would disagree with the fact that we could always use more dollars for prevention and programming to support people to keep, especially our young folks, from getting involved in the system in the first place. Because without strong interventions and programming, you know, it ends up costing all of us a lot more in the long run.
You know, Secretary Carr, I couldn't agree anymore. I created a program this past spring called Voices of the Elders to take men of your and my generation and work with children in grade and middle schools and give them the direction and guidance necessary. And to his credit, the governor has supported that program, but and many others. But that's at the root of this, and we have to be willing to invest those dollars early on. Unfortunately, everybody doesn't grow up in a neighborhood and in a community that is conducive to their development, and children don't get to pick their parents. So a lot of what we're talking about here is that the development stages of young people not being supported properly by communities in which they live, and so they wind up going down that path. It's a lot cheaper to deal with it on the front end, right, than on the back end.
You're exactly right, and that's pretty much what I was talking about regarding our new juvenile facility in Milwaukee, is that if we can do it right and provide these kids with the type of support that you just described, even though, you know, you're talking about, you know, some younger, the younger group of kids, but we're talking about kids that are, you know, 10, 12 to 18 years old that, you know, we can, I'm not ready to give up on them.
Right.
and we should, I think we have a moral obligation to try to do everything that we can to try to turn these kids around, because I have hope. I believe that we can do it if we only, you know, are willing to do the things that are necessary to get the job done.
You know, Secretary Carr, I want to talk about the new facility that is in the works for these youth in the city of Milwaukee. And those of us who've been around a long time know that this conversation, this discussion has been going on for decades. And And for whatever reason, it seems to be difficult. It seems to be difficult to make this thing happen. And I don't know why it's so difficult, Secretary Carr, to make this happen. As I say to people, well, I don't want it in my neighborhood. Well, we're only talking about, what, 30-some-odd young people that, and I don't think, you know, you can certainly correct me, but I don't believe that there's any youth facility that you're going to put in any community that is going to be a danger to the people who live in that community. I don't think you put those facilities right in the middle of neighborhoods, that functioning neighborhoods. You put them in spots and places that are not in somebody's backyard. But yet there's pushback, and I for one am frustrated that people in our community can't see the benefit in that. You know, the conversation about it has gone on far too long. It's time to move forward.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, Earl. Just this past week, on Wednesday, we had two community meetings, one in the morning and one in the evening, and then we had another one last Saturday at the Milwaukee Police Academy, where we gave the citizens in the area where we're where we're attempting to build the new facility an opportunity, and any other citizens, to come and ask questions and to learn more about what we're doing there. And you're right, and I'm going to just say it plainly. After those three meetings and talking to a lot of people, the bottom line is everybody generally will agree with the idea that we have to do something for the kids, and that this is a pretty good idea, but they just don't want it in their backyard.
Right.
But it's going to be in somebody's backyard. Now, in this particular case, we believe that we've identified a location that is in a light industrial area that is not adjacent to anybody's homes, as you indicated earlier. And you know what? And if you saw the design, you would think that this
It's the right place.
Right, and it's like, you know, you won't even know that thing is there. This is a secure facility, and there will be very little traffic in and out, except for the people that work there and people who have scheduled business at our facilities.
You know, it's no more dangerous than sometimes the people who are walking through our own communities, right? It's safer than what we have with people moving throughout our own communities right now. Let's go to John from Milwaukee. John, thank you very much for the call. What do you say?
Earl, I say it's good to hear you back. Do you remember me from years ago? Okay, that's okay. Now, I caught your name. I found out to get on air, and the subject is right up my alley.
Go ahead.
First of all, in the 40s and 50s in Milwaukee, when Milwaukee was considered as fine a place in the country to rear children, we had a swimming pool, a playground, a social center, a library, at Urban League,
right,
a YMCA, and we felt important. People expected us to succeed. All of that's gone. Now, I've often considered, and I work with very young people on my job, and
I remember you. So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, now, I would love to pull children in a setting like on AM radio, on radio, and set them down in a setting.
Let me do this. Do you have a question for Secretary Carr? Because you and I can have a conversation afterwards, but do you have a question for Secretary Carr?
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I have a statement.
Okay, quickly.
The only thing that will save these children is when you involve them in their own salvation. We've got to figure out how to do that. These children are so out of touch with their culture, with the way with their community, and there's nothing else going to save them unless we do it in a setting involves.
John, do this for me. Leave your phone number with Connor, and I'll give you a call afterwards.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. It's good hearing from you. Secretary Carr. I just do not understand. There was the pushback when people were talking about tearing down Felmer's Cheney. I didn't agree with that. The other sites, some of the other sites you've talked about, this one, if ever there was a perfect site, it's that one. People can get there via bus, right? There's a bus route there. And so people being able to connect with their community, it's right. But we can't keep fighting this battle. We've got to start somewhere. What is it, 2 years? It's going to take at least 2 years once they say, to build it?
At least.
See, so that's...
At least.
Hold on. We've got to go to a break. We'll be right back. The Early Room Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guess is the Secretary of the Department of Corrections, Kevin Carr. And I know you got to go, sir. What do you want to say in the closing seconds?
Well, you know, I really enjoyed my time with you this morning, Earl, and I'd love to come back another time when you have some other subjects that you want to talk about regarding the Department of Corrections. But before I go, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to talk about what we do and our vision for corrections in this state and how we're trying to help as many people as possible change their lives. And the opportunity to talk about the new juvenile facility that we'd like to build in Milwaukee. Now, I don't want to give anybody or leave your listeners with the impression that this is a done deal. We still have a number of approvals that we have to approvals that we have to get from the city of Milwaukee through, their process. The legislature passed a law that said that we have to have local government approval to move forward with the project, and we're on the path to seeking that approval. And it's not a foregone conclusion, but we're very hopeful, and we hope that we can get the support of the city of Milwaukee and the legislative bodies down there. With that being said, we do believe that this is a good step in the right direction for juvenile justice in our state, and the best way to serve our kids in hopes of changing the dynamic and moving us in a better place as far as juvenile corrections go. And ultimately, that is going to make us all safer.
Director Carr, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. Yes, I'll be calling on you again. It's great to hear from you again after all these years. Thank you, and we'll be reaching out again.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and all of your listeners.
You too, my friend. Thank you very much. You know, the reason I reached out to Director Carr is because all of the horrific commercials that were on during the campaigns that were put out there about what is taking place and the governor and the governor and others and who were somehow harboring and letting these prisoners go, and it was all of these horrible things, and crime is this and crime is that. I wanted to get the truth out, And the secretary, you know, kind of proved and said to people that, you know, 95% of the people who committed crimes are going to be released back into the community. 95%. So if you didn't know that, and you saw all the horrible commercials that were played during the campaigns for the senator, for the mayor, and for the, anyway, it'll come to me. It just goes to prove people don't, it's not what people believe it is, right? I mean, it's just not. It wasn't the truth. It hasn't been the truth. And yet people continue to lie. You know, all these criminals are being released, and you should be afraid because the people are coming into your neighborhood. They're coming into lies. Tens of millions of dollars spent on lies to scare you, to make you believe that people were being released, predators, to come into your neighborhoods and cause you harm. Nothing could be further from the truth. And the fact that people were willing to do that, it's why I wanted to have the Secretary of the Department of Corrections on. I can tell you how, I can't tell you how many times people called here and said to me, told me about how many people, committing crimes and being released when they shouldn't have been released. Never mind there's a release date. And so you have to ask yourself the question, why would these people lie? Well, they had reasons for lying. Because they wanted to win elections. They weren't going to be truthful to you because they didn't think you would ever find out that they had been lying to you. Tens of millions of dollars in ads filled with lies. Well, you know they're going to run again at another time. You should remember. I can't believe everything that's said, right? And you certainly couldn't believe in what these people had to say. Look, we got to go. We'll be back. Kind of thank you. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you guys later.
Let this be the day. Will I ever find the love? Will I ever find that girl? You see, I've been looking everywhere, and I got to find somebody. I need somebody who gon' understand. I got to find the love. I got to find the girl. Will I ever find a love?